Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding.
Hi, this is Ken Hankey wishing you a happy Christmas and a groovy new year.
Justin Sowler?
Really?
Ken Hankey? Yes.
I am Ken Hankey. And we're movie reviewers for the Mountain Express.
Uh-huh.
And we are also, as they say down home, elitist bastards. And we've seen quite a few movies recently. And we'll be seeing others. So we're here at, where are we?
The Cinema Lounge.
Ah, yes.
The Carolina Asheville.
Yes.
Hendersonville Road.
The lush, picturesque garden spot of Asheville.
Right.
Except and
it's winter.
What's that?
It's winter.
It's winter, so it's not so picturesque or gardeny. And, but we won't tell anybody. And we're going to talk about these movies that we've seen and are going to see and hope to see and
yes.
are trying to avoid.
So what are we going to start with?
I have no idea. You only saw... Well, actually, you've seen...
I've seen a few of these
You've seen three movies.
Yes.
You've seen King's Speech, you've seen True Grit, and you've seen...
Tron.
Tron Legacy.
Yes. Should we start with Tron?
I don't want to start with Yogi Bear. That's just too...
Okay.
Right.
Well, Tron Legacy is, of course, the sequel to the original Tron, which...
It is?
Yes.
Wow.
Believe it or not. It's
well,
not a remake.
Fine. I've never seen either one, so... Enlighten me on this.
In what way? On
in,
which
in,
one?
In,
what are we talking about?
Just enlighten me on the whole concept.
Well, I was not... I was never any... I know there's a whole generation of people my age that sort of grew up on Tron. I don't know if Steve, everyone, he's nodding yes. I never saw it. Until, actually, after I saw the sequel, I went and tracked it down and watched it.
And shot it.
Well, it's not very good, the original. It's the worst kind of, like, 80s live-action movie. Like, it's really corny. But the whole idea that Jeff Bridges gets sucked into this computer world where the people are... computer programs.
Well, let's face it, the movies have always had a pretty interesting notion of what computers are.
Well, this one's really bad because it's like, in the original at least, like he meets an accounting program and they have all these bad accounting jokes. It's like, it's...
You make it sound like there is the possibility of good accounting jokes.
Well, there's accounting jokes in it then.
Okay.
Is that better? And even though it's like, at that point, it was like state-of-the-art special effects, they have not aged well. Because everybody's just wearing these foam rubber suits and throwing frisbees around. And it's not very good. This one is also kind of stupid to a certain extent. But, and there's also some bad special effects. They have a young version of Jeff Bridges that shows up. He's all CGI'd. And it's so phony looking. I don't know why they put it in there.
Like, he's in a goddamn computer. What difference does it make if it's phony
looking?
Oh, it's
his
real.
The real
self?
Yes.
Oh, good lord.
He shows up in the real world at the beginning of the film, and it's this computer.
Yeah, they did this with Betty Davis and whatever happened to Betty Jane back before you could CGI these people.
Uh-huh.
They just kept the face in shadow. You saw her in long shot. You never got close.
Well, it seems like you could do that, or you could... I feel like Forrest Gump had better special effects in that regard.
I'm going fast.
But the rest of the CGI is really... When it's not so much people that they're making, when it's just backgrounds and these landscapes and stuff, it's pretty impressive, and I think it works really well. The whole thing feels kind of like a really long car commercial. Because that's where
the director...
Yeah, the director, that's what he... He's never made a feature before, but he's...
made lots of car commercials.
Lots of, and they move in, like, if you watch them, it's sort of in the same style. It's this really slow, super stylized sort of.
So you're saying that it's not action-packed?
There's action in it. It's not manic in any way. And
what is he, like, the anti-Wachowski?
Maybe, to a certain extent. But I'm not saying it's a great movie, but for some reason I liked it. I think it's for all the wrong reasons. Like, the reasons that nobody else is going to like it. Like, I kind of liked the way it was paced and the look of it. And I know it's all gloss, but I still enjoyed it. And I mean, for a popcorn movie, it's...
And Michael Sheen, don't...
Right, as we were discussing which era of David Bowie...
Well, it's the same era. We were just splitting hairs over albums.
Okay, but...
Michael Sheen,
yes.
In 1970s,
channeling David Bowie.
Early 70s David Bowie form.
Chewing scenery, which I don't know if I've ever seen him get that opportunity.
I'll have to think about that, but it certainly doesn't sound...
And Jeff Bridges is really... I was after seeing True Grit, which we'll get to in just a second.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was worried I was going to be let down with Jeff Bridges. It was just... Because I really like him in True Grit. He's really good in this. He's way better than the movie probably deserves, and it's sort of what carries the film. Like, I honestly got a little choked up at the end, which was... I was like, how is Tron, like, getting to me in any way?
You're getting soft.
Maybe. But... I mean, for the most part, it works. And it's a nice-looking movie. I mean, I'm hearing nobody likes it, I think.
What I'm getting. And how is the young lad?
Who?
Garrett Hedlund.
He's fine. I realized today he kind of looks a little bit too much like Corey Haim, which I didn't realize when I was watching it.
See, my entire image of this man is standing in a theater lobby with Don Mancini, and there's an Aragon standee.
Okay.
And I'm going, who the hell is that even? And he goes, I don't know, it's some twink.
Well, he's grown up a little bit.
I see.
He's fine. They don't... The thing with the movie is that nobody's given much to do. It's totally dependent on the actor to do anything with these roles, which is why Jeff Bridges and Michael Sheen...
And Aragon is not great training for...
No, he just plays
figuring
the...
Figuring out what to do.
He just plays the hero role, and he's fine at it. I mean...
So, but you basically recommend it even though nobody else likes it.
If you have no affinity for the original and... You don't mind stuff that's kind of slow. Like, if you're not expecting, like, action-packed...
Then you might like it.
Yeah. You might... If you... I wasn't expecting much out of it, and I kind of enjoyed it.
Well, I mean, saw two movies I wasn't expecting much out of, and I hated them, but...
Well...
So, you know, going in with diminished expectations is no guarantee.
That's true. And what were those movies? Yogi Bear.
Was
one. Do we want to talk about Yogi Bear? Are we holding off on?
We'll savor Yogi for a moment.
Well, if you want to.
And instead, we'll start with, how do you know? Except I can't figure out how to say that without putting a question mark on it, and there is no question mark on the title of the film.
I would explain why.
How do I know this? Because I've seen the film. There is no question mark. It's how do you know?
Well, I just want to know what that accomplishes.
It accomplishes nothing except it gave us something to talk about in this dreadful, dismal, cosmically god-awful movie.
Is it 10 worst material?
Yes, it's 10 worst material. It's a romantic comedy with drama.
Okay.
It isn't romantic. It's not funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care if Paul Rudd goes to jail.
Just in general?
In general.
Okay.
But it's particularly in this movie. What you have is 31-year-old perky Reese Witherspoon who gets dropped by her softball team. She's a pro softball player. I didn't even know there were such things, but that's neither here nor there. And... This is her entire character.
Right.
We don't pursue anything else that she likes. We don't pursue anything else about her. We don't pursue what she's really going to do with her life. So instead of that, she goes out and manages to get into romantic complications. And which in this case means getting involved with Owen Wilson, who is a pro ball player, who, by the way, is much older than 31, but I guess they have greater longevity in the major leagues, I don't know. And he has absolutely no concept of monogamy whatsoever. It means basically that you only sleep with one person when you're with them.
Okay.
But she nonetheless, of course, gets into a relationship with him. And through a series of really stupid coincidences and contrivances and other screenwriting tropes, she also ends up involved with Paul Rudd, who has the misfortune of being the world's stupidest corporate boob, who is under investigation.
Well, there's a lot of
those. Yes, but this man is like completely unaware of the fact that his company could possibly have done anything wrong, and yet he's about to be hung out to dry in a federal investigation that might send him to the big house for 1 to 3 years. And so he has this problem going for him. Also, he has no job any longer because he can't keep working while he's under investigation. So, of course, he has to move into a scaled-down apartment, which is much better than most things we've lived in.
Right.
As is the case in movies. You know, you never get moved into, you know, anything moderately realistic. It's just like, you know, people break up and they get all boo-hoo-hooey and they can take a year of their life off and do nothing and live on air. Which I've never had this luxury. I don't know about you. But in any case, it's uninteresting. The characters are non-existent. I don't care about them. I asked the guy I was watching it with, do you care about these people? He said, no. I put it on a level. You know the person I watched it with.
Yes.
It has outdistanced Cyrus for the movie he saw this year that he hated the most. So he hated this film.
Okay.
Jack Nicholson is wasted in a role he can do absolutely nothing with. He plays Paul Rudd's father, who, as all good fathers would, is actually the person who did the corporate finagling, but he would go to jail for 25 years for a prior offense. Therefore, he's really trying to manipulate his son into taking the heat for him and going to jail for a mere 1 to 3 years.
That's why you have kids.
That's right. That's why you have kids, so they can go to jail in your place. Remember this. It's awful. It's just awful. And that's as much as I think needs to be said about it. It's awful. It's terrible, dreadful.
What about Yogi Bear? Awful?
It's awful, but it's a lot shorter.
Okay.
Like 36 minutes shorter. I mean, you've taken the two most non-dimensional characters from a television cartoon that was the quintessence of two-dimensional flatness,
right,
and made them into 3D CGI characters and popped them into a really stupid live-action story that wants me to believe that Anna Faris is a documentary filmmaker.
I don't know. We know somebody who makes
Well, that's true, and he's probably done it with like Anna Faris, so, but he doesn't look like her. That's true. Although Anna Faris is not looking all that hot in this movie. In fact, she looked like she was growing a mustache to me in the early scenes, but I could be wrong. In any case,
maybe she thought she was playing Yogi.
Well, I did distract myself with the movie to some degree, as did my screening companion, because they keep talking about... Now, let's take this back. I mean, you remember the original ad campaign with the insert poster that had a glassy-eyed yogi standing behind a wide-eyed boo-boo bear, and the tagline, "Great things come in bears," under it. Okay, with this to work from, I've already got my mind in the gutter when I go into this movie. And this isn't even taking into account the fact that bear is slang for hairy gay man. But here we have Yogi Bear constantly obsessing about baskets. That's all he talks about. He builds a thing called Basket Nabber 2000. At one point, Ranger Smith says, "That bear sure knows how to grab a basket." I mean, I'm just, you know, we're having a serious attack of the giggles, which is fine because there was nobody else in the theater. This movie did not do well at the box office, in case anyone's curious.
It's astonishing.
But, you know, I haven't seen this. This is like, you know, this is more about baskets than the Village People were. This is hysterically, unintentionally dirty, which is still better than the movie itself, which has this flimsy plot about an evil mayor played by some guy whose name I can't remember, but looks like a cheap version of Bruce Davison, trying to sell Jellystone Park. They took the word national out of there so that there would, you know, be no question but that the mayor of a city could sell a public park.
This movie with talking bears is unrealistic.
That's right. This is a movie with well, the whole thing is unrealistic. They're trying to save the park, so they're going to have a centennial celebration. It never occurs to anybody that a pair of talking bears, oh, I don't know, might have some commercial value. No, they want to keep them in the background so they don't cause any trouble. So, you know, this just goes along, and it's dumb, and it's badly done, and the 3D is okay. I mean, if you want to see soda and popcorn sprayed in your face, not to mention a grub worm discharged from Yogi's nose, that flies out to the camera just fine. It's a really nice 3D effect, which is the sort of thing 3D is good at, I suppose. And Dan Aykroyd does a credible Yogi Bear voice, and Justin Timberlake does a more than credible Boo Boo voice. But so what? It's freaking Yogi Bear, people. Why would you go to see this unless, like me, you were paid to do it? Next up?
Let's talk about some good movies.
Oh, okay.
If you want to.
All right, which one shall we take first?
Well, what opens tomorrow? We have True Grit.
True Grit.
True Both Seen.
Okay, so we'll do True Grit first.
Okay.
And, so, since you've seen this one, too,
yes.
What have you to say about True Grit, Young
Justin? I liked it a lot. It's, I haven't finalized my... I just started on my top 10 list.
Things to see yet. Well,
yes,
as you said,
well,
I kind of...
I'm fairly certain it's going to be in my top 3, at least my top 5. It's one of the, I'd say it's one of the better things, easily, that I've seen this year.
Well, it's entertaining.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous to look at.
Right.
And
what something I was worried, a lot of the Coen's more serious minded kind of stuff doesn't always appeal to me as much. Like, I like No Country for Old Men, but there's something missing from that.
It doesn't make you want to see it multiple times.
This one does, and I think a lot of it is it's surprisingly funny. It's very, very dry.
It's very it's funny in an extremely dry manner.
But I like that because nobody does that quite like the Coens do.
No, but I'm assuming it is part of the novel, which I have not read.
Right.
But it is not, I mean, it is by no means, I mean, yes, it has the same plot and the same right. characters as the John Wayne picture, but it by no means has very little relation to it in terms of tone. It's an entirely different film, and it's an entirely different experience. And, you know, it's... Jeff Bridges gives a performance. John Wayne is John Wayne playing drunk U.S. Marshal.
Right.
Saying that Matt Damon and this newcomer kid, Haley Steinfeld, are, you know, miles better than Glenn Campbell and Kim Darby is not really giving them any credit, because, I mean, you and I could do those roles better than Glenn Campbell and Kim Darby, and that's with me playing the 14-year-old girl. So, you know, they're really good in the film. I mean, It's not, the funny thing is, it's not revisionist. You're probably thinking of it in terms of being really revisionist because it's the right. Coen brothers. It pretty much is a straightforward Western.
Right. But it's still...
But I don't, and it should have a broad appeal, except for the fact that Westerns don't tend to do that well these days. I'm not real sure why. But the thing about it is that it's... I don't think that it is any sort of conscious attempt on the part of the Coen brothers to make a so-called audience-friendly movie.
No.
I think it just happened. I think it's just inherent in the material. I don't think they, oh, wow, we can do this. Well, for that matter, Oh Brother is PG-13 rated, isn't it? It's not.
Yeah.
It's audience-friendly to the, I mean, basically. Right.
I think, well, they've gotten to a point where they...
In a way, this is probably more disturbing than Oh Brother. I mean, this is, right. This is, some of this is pretty gothic and pretty gruesome.
Right.
So, you know.
It's very much a Coen Brothers film still.
It is very much a Coen Brothers film, much more so than I had been led to suspect it would be. So I think that that also may play into why I liked it as much as I did, but I really did like it.
I'm curious how it's going to do, because I know there seems to be some anticipation for it, but I wonder if the fact that people have John Wayne on this pedestal, if that's going to hurt it. Or
well, other than the guy in Running Scared, I don't remember. I don't personally know that many people who have John Wayne on a pedestal.
Well,
you say that online reviewer got all pissy about how Jeff Bridges is no John Wayne.
You're not in tune with Middle America, Ken, which is a good thing, I'm not saying.
I've never been in tune with Middle America, so that's
well, there's
not,
a lot of... I'm sure there's a lot of John Wayne.
I pride myself on not being in tune with so-called Middle America. So, you know.
I know, that's what I'm saying. But that means...
All right,
I'm sure there's a lot of John Wayne.
So people who like Sarah Palin like John Wayne.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. That doesn't,
it's the same. She's like a female John Wayne. Or she would like to be.
Wow.
You're speechless.
I am speechless. I am speechless and... And
she, I think she has and, herself. And we're not going to get into a political Sarah Palin discussion.
I mean,
but
we could start.
But I see her. I can see her thinking that she's
moose stampedes.
Modern day John Wayne, Sarah Palin. She probably looks in the mirror. And
even if she looks like a MILF, yeah.
Maybe that's what John Wayne was missing. The sex appeal.
Maybe that's what John Wayne had, and we just don't know it.
King's Speech is another
film that we've both seen.
Yes. Big Oscar contender.
I'm afraid it will probably not get the Oscar for Best Picture, although I would have no trouble if it did.
Right.
Simply by virtue of the fact that a lot of people seem to be just absolutely gaga over the Citizen Kane of our time, The Social Network, mm-hmm. which is something that just baffles the living Jesus out of me. I think it's fine, it's okay, it was entertaining, and that's the end of it for me. I don't think it was a great film. The King's Speech.
Well, Mark Zuckerberg's Man of the Year.
So was Adolf Hitler once.
And Bin Laden. Well, they've made tons of movies about Hitler.
Well, that's true, yeah. That's true. Mahatma Gandhi was Man of the Year, too. So I think Zuckerberg probably falls somewhere in between these two. But
probably.
Maybe not. We don't know what his actual ultimate fiendish goal is. None of this has a goddamn thing to do with The King's Speech, however. I do believe the King's Speech will net Colin Firth the Oscar mm-hmm. that he probably should have gotten for A Single Man. But in an unusual move, I think he's getting an Oscar that he fully deserves for this, too. So I don't really feel like it's a consolation thing. Jeffrey Rush, I think, is a good contender for supporting actor. Mm-hmm. The one I think is going to get overlooked is Helena Bonham Carter.
And she was the one that, to me, I thought did the best job.
Well, it's not so much to me that it's whether she did the best job or not. I think it's the fact that the Queen Mother is the only one of these people that I have an idea of in my uh-huh. head. They're all, you know, Lionel Logue, nobody has an idea right. of him, so he's fine being Jeffrey Rush. I'm fine with George VI being Colin Firth, but I have no mental image of George VI. Mm-hmm. The man died a year before I was born, I think. I'm pretty sure Elizabeth took the throne in 53. And, but the Queen Mother, yeah, sure, she was around forever being outrageous and having her little stable of gay boys that waited on her and everything. It was, you know, I mean, she was a public figure and a character. And I can easily see Helena Bonham Carter aging into this woman.
Right.
You have to spread out a good bit, but she, you know, I can see her doing it. I mean, she even kind of looks like her. And I do think she's wonderful in the film. I thought everybody was very good, although, I mean, even Timothy Spall, I like Timothy Spall anyway, but Timothy Spall's Churchill, let's face it, is really more of somebody doing a really good Churchill impression than it's a performance, but it's a really good Churchill
impression. Well, there's certain historical figures that you're going to end up doing.
Yeah.
Like, you can't get around it. Like,
yeah, I mean, there's just no way around
Frank
it.
Frank Langella's Nixon sort of at points was sort of that.
But there's no way for it. But you're right there. But I mean, but the film that I think was surprising about the film is how entertaining and how involving and how compelling it is as drama, because boy does that title suck, and the whole idea of we're going to have a film about George the Sixth.
It's not a good poster either.
Speech impediment.
Right.
And it's all building up to him delivering his first wartime speech, after he's been pretty much forced into the position he doesn't want of being king.
Uh-huh.
Because Edward has abdicated in order to marry Wallis Simpson. And I love the fact that they don't make Wallis Simpson into an attractive woman.
Okay.
I think that's very cool of them not to, because it becomes even harder to understand what the hold is she has on him. And I don't believe it's because of certain tricks that she learned in an establishment in Shanghai, as the film puts forth at one point. But I mean, she was a very, basically kind of a very drab, somewhat awkward American woman that just for some reason fixated the man, and he gave up a kingdom in order to marry her, which put poor stammering Bertie in the path there. I think that it makes for really good drama, although it doesn't seem like it should. Whoever, and I don't know at what point somebody decided to underscore that final speech with the second movement of the Beethoven 7th Symphony, but that really works. I will have to admit that if you put the Beethoven 7th in something, you've already gained a couple points with me, especially that movement. But, I mean, I think it really, really works well here. I don't have anything about this film that I don't like.
I liked it. I'm in the same kind of mindset. I think everybody's great in it. I have no issues with the movie. It never wowed me. I don't think it was supposed to.
Did it affect you emotionally at all?
At times.
Okay.
But there's still... I'm trying to figure... Because I just saw it last night.
Right. And I've seen it
three times. Though you mentioning Social Network makes it seem... much, 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 much better. So
that wasn't really my point, but
no,
yes.
But I haven't been able to put my finger on. I might have to watch it again.
No, I understand.
But I think it's.
Bear in mind, last night was the third time I'd seen it.
Right.
So.
And it's something. It's something where it's like I have no issue with it, but.
And I have caught a few things every time I've seen it, and I have caught nuances in Firth's performance every time I've seen it that I hadn't caught before. So, well, obviously I hadn't caught them before. They wouldn't be new things now, would they?
That's true.
Of course, they were there. I just didn't see them. It's because I'm dumb sometimes.
Maybe.
Whatever. Okay. But you're more pro it than against it by a long shot.
No, I think I would recommend it to a lot of people. I think a lot of people are going to... I know.
I think that in a way, the unfortunate thing about it is that it's going to get... a certain amount of people not coming to see it on Christmas Day because of the R rating.
Uh-huh.
And it only has an R rating for swearing. So if it's not going to make you just absolutely fall into a faint that people say fuck, if that doesn't bother you, there's no reason you can't bring your family to
it.
They're
not angry fucks.
No, they're amusing. And it's probably the most amusing use of swearing you'll ever see.
So.
But it's that's the only possible reason. I would personally have no problem with a child seeing this film. Unless I was just worried that he was going to come home and start swearing like a sailor. And you're going to have that problem anyway.
Or stammering, maybe.
Or stammering, yes. I don't think that it will make children stammer, although they might do impressions. It's hard to say. You know, back in the early sound era, there was a comic named Roscoe Ates. His entire shtick was that he stammered.
No.
That was supposed to be funny.
Was it?
No.
No.
And that brings us to I Love You, Philip Morris.
And you've seen, I haven't watched it yet. I Love You,
this
Philip.
This is not my fault that you have not seen I Love You, Philip Morris yet.
I didn't say it was.
I Love You, Philip Morris is an extremely good film that I perhaps give higher marks to simply by virtue of the fact that it is going to scare the horses and it's going to make nervous straight boys really uneasy. Because it's a gay romance. It's a gay romantic comedy with dramatic and or even tragic overtones. I would actually say that ultimately it's tragic. Starring Jim Carrey and Ewan McGregor in the roles of the gay lovers. And it's very upfront. It's not graphic in what it depicts, other than the fact that I know an awful lot of people, especially nervous straight boys, whose ooh factor seems to be much higher for watching two guys kissing than for any other possible thing. That's just like, that sends them out screaming from the theater in terror. It's, you know, kind of like these people that, oh my God, you know, I've seen a penis, I'm going to turn gay. You know, it's ridiculous, but so is this. But and what's really appalling, if you go look at the IMDb website to see the just outpouring of homophobia about this, it's absolutely, it's horrifying, it's appalling. You know, I don't need to see Obi-Wan Kenobi taking it in the ass. It's like, Jesus, you know, grow up. This to me is easily Jim Carrey's best work since Eternal Sunshine. It's a very brave role. And it's one of Ewan McGregor's, he's an incredibly sweet performance from Ewan McGregor as this not really all that bright southern boy named Philip Morris, whom Jim Carrey meets when they're both in prison. It's, I think the film will probably also upset a lot of people because Jim Carrey, even though it's obvious from childhood, because you've got these children laying on their back looking up at the clouds and everybody else is seeing, oh, I see a horse, I see an elephant, I see a penis. You know, and so, I mean, it just goes on in the same fashion, but he becomes this uptight, upright, God-fearing, church organ-playing, policeman, Christian, married man who just one day decides to stop living a double life, having hot man-on-man sex in back rooms, and live what he perceives, because it's what he's been taught by society, is the gay lifestyle, which to him means moving to Miami Beach, dressing incredibly flashy, having a hot boyfriend, and a really expensive apartment that he cannot possibly afford, and therefore he turns to credit card fraud and check fraud and any con that he can come up with, which is what lands him in jail where he meets Philip Morris and discovers true love. And to the degree that this character can, because he just seems to be constantly playing parts. And what's really weird about the film is it's based on a true story and appears to be pretty factual in terms of the backgrounds of both characters and the what happened and what happens. And I'm not going to tell you what happens, because one of the best things about the film is it appears to be, if you know movies about gay people at all, you know that there is this one trope that they all head for. And this, and I'm not going to tell you what it is because it'll ruin the surprise, and this appears to be going right that route, only it turns itself around on you and becomes exactly something different. So it's a refreshing film. It is definitely not family friendly, unless you're saying family in the sense of gay. But, you know, for those of us who are not childish about homosexuality, I do recommend the film. But the problem is it's going to get lost in the shuffle, because it's up against Black Swan is still playing, 127 Hours is still playing, True Grit is opening, The King's Speech is opening. So this little movie is going to get really shunted aside, I'm afraid. And I think that'd be a great pity. But I guess we'll see. Oh, the Thursday Horror Picture Show is...
Thursday at 8.
At 8, yes.
That's what it is.
Is that what it is?
At the Cinema Lounge, Ken.
Oh, okay.
At the Carolina Asheville, where we're at right now.
That is true. What more could you want to know? Except that it's free.
That's true. We have our Christmas special.
Christmas cheer
Christmas
from
extravaganza.
Us. Black Christmas, the 1974 granddaddy of all slasher pictures by Bob Clark, who, of course, 9 years later would make the Christmas perennial A Christmas Story. In any case, it's not like some sort of great classic. It's a classic template for a bunch of stuff to come. And whether you want to harm Bob Clark, which I have a hard time doing because he was killed by a drunk driver in 1999, or if you want to harm Bob Clark, it would probably be for Baby Geniuses. And it wasn't 1999, that's when Baby Geniuses was made. Or if you want to embrace him for giving the basic outline for every dumb slasher picture from Friday the 13th to Halloween, to you want to name it, it's got some sort of connection to Black Christmas, which is essentially an old dark sorority house movie about a crazed killer who is really, we never get a good look at him, but he's, from the phone calls he makes, he's disturbing. I mean, the fact that he's killing people, of course, makes him disturbing too, but this guy sounds like really beyond the normal realm of disturbed. And, I mean, it's a good layout for all this stuff to come. And, at its simplest level, it's an unknown killer hiding in a house, killing a bunch of women one at a time, with inept cops trying to provide and a twist ending that makes... There's no way you can make this ending make sense. I mean, the cops cannot be so inept that they never search this house. But for the ending to work, they have to be that inept. So, but come, join us and see where it all began.
And then post-Christmas.
Post-Christmas, yep. The Asheville Film Society at 8 o'clock on Tuesday in the Cinema Lounge at the Carolina will be showing New Year's special, yes. The Thin Man, which is a film that manages to have both a Christmas scene and a New Year's party in it. And this is one of those, if you've never seen it, movies, you need to see it before you die. It's the start of a long-running series of movies called the Thin Man series, although originally, and actually for the first three films at least, The Thin Man does not refer to William Powell. He is not as the Thin Man. The Thin Man is the murder victim in the first film. It becomes a very different idea. I mean, the next film is called After the Thin Man, meaning it's the story that comes after the Thin Man. So, you know, but eventually the studios got lazy and decided that William Powell was the Thin Man, and the idea stuck, and that's where it was. But it's an utterly charming film. It is completely unpretentious. It's basically a comedy mystery that gets by on a parade of really quirky characters and the chemistry of William Powell and Myrna Loy as this basically kind of drunk most of the time, but very much in love married sleuthing couple. And they were. It's from a book by Dashiell Hammett, and Hammett based the characters on himself and Lillian Hellman, the playwright. All except that I don't believe that Hammett and Hellman were ever actually married. They just lived together. And how true it is, it's hard to say. The story, of course, is completely made up. I do know that Hammett and Hellman were certainly had no problem downing liquor, and that indeed Hammett was a retired private detective. And so, it, you know, obviously from that standpoint, the story has, the characters have some amount of truth in them. If anybody ever reads the book, they'll be surprised to find that Asta, the famous wire-haired terrier, played by the famous wire-haired terrier, whose real name was Skippy, who is also seen in such movies as The Awful Truth, where he plays Mr. Smith, and Bringing Up Baby, where he plays George, the dog that steals the dinosaur bone. Asta in the book is a schnauzer and not a wire-haired terrier. You know, I know another illusion shattered. I can see the disappointment just washing across Steve Schanefeld's face as we speak. So, but in any case, come join us, and that will close out the holiday season for all concerned, including us.
Yes. Well, we have True Grit tomorrow.
True Grit opens this week, yes.
King's Speech Philip Morris
on Saturday. And those we've already, of course, talked about. And then there are two others that I'd rather not talk about. But
you're going to have to.
Yes.
Or I can.
Well, there's Little Fockers.
Uh-huh.
Which is the third and, God, hopefully the final film in the Meet the Parents, Meet the Fockers.
The Fockers Fock trilogy.
The Fockers. You know, all the rest of these fucking movies are finally, you know, this is another installment in this tiresome, tired out cash grab of a movie. The trailer is terrible. I've liked everybody in this movie at one time or another. I've liked Ben Stiller mostly in
Royal Tenenbaums.
I liked Zoolander. I don't know that I ever want to see it again, but I liked Zoolander at the time. I liked Tropic Thunder okay too at the time, but I don't think I want to see it again. I've liked Owen Wilson almost exclusively in things that were made by Wes Anderson. I've liked Barbara Streisand. I usually like Dustin Hoffman. I've liked Robert De Niro, although in recent years he's sort of become a caricature of himself. But this movie looks awful. And now that the reviews are starting to creep out, it is awful. However, the one thing that I think can be said in its favor is that it looks better than Jack Black in Gulliver's Travels.
Are you sure about that? That looks better?
No, I haven't sat through Little Fockers yet. You, however, are the one who is going to be sitting through Jack Black in Gulliver's Travels. I've liked Jack Black twice. I like Emily Blunt. This movie looks terrible. The concept looks terrible.
Yeah.
The special effects look as bad as anything Burt Gordon did in the 1950s with rear-projected giant insects.
Well,
there's even a still that looks like a composite picture of Jack Black's face and another photograph of some people who are obviously really regular-sized looking at him. I mean, it looks... There's no excuse for a movie looking... If this movie looks anywhere near as bad as it does in the trailer and from the still photographs, it's just disgraceful that any movie in this day of special effects could possibly look this cheesy. Maybe it's supposed to. Okay, it's postmodern. I don't know about you, but I've had enough of this. Have you had enough of this? Okay, we've had enough of this, so I think it's time for us to go away. And
I'm Justin Sowler.
Yeah, that's right.
Ken Hanke.
Yeah, I'm Ken Hanke.
We're Mount Express Film Critics.
And
we're brought to you by
the Mount Express. They are the kind people who allow us the luxury of
bandwidth.
This bandwidth,
and
we
Steve.
are produced.
They
by,
loan out Steve to us.
What's that?
They loan out Steve.
They loan out Steve. The
apple of our eye.
Apple of our eye, the pomegranate of some other body part, and
of our basket.
and the flashy dresser who is wearing his honorary lesbian flannel shirt today. And without
it's
him,
grunge, okay?
Grunge my ass. It's an honorary
I'm
lesbian
Gen X,
shirt.
I
don't
can't help
me.
It.
He's dressed like Janine Garofalo. Okay.
Until next week, then.
Until next week, then.
Until next week.
Until next week.